still say the U.S. is more of a defensive power. You disagree with me on that, obviously. Yeah, back in the early days, I don't like what happened with the American Indians. Of course not. No, I would have found a way to live peacefully with them. It's the old Western expansion. Hang on, I got a sneeze coming on. Yeah, let's talk about that Western expansion. I think the sneeze passed. Thank you. Let's talk about that Western expansion. No, let's not. No, I'm just saying that the United States doesn't do what Adolf Hitler did. I mean, he had a map drawn out. He was going to take over the entire world. We're not trying to do that. No, you've heard me say before that to take over the world, you don't need tanks anymore. You just need to have the money, and you need to be backed by the power. God knows you don't need to be backed by actual money, but you need to be backed by actual power. You need to have that threat that we carry the big stick. As long as you're carrying a big stick, then people are going to respect you. Then you don't have to use the stick, you see. So the weapons come in when we have this big stick. And then we gain the respect of other people. I still insist that the present administration has no taste for conquering. It's just the opposite. We know that Obama is trying to diminish the United States, and this must happen in order to level the playing field. Because you can't have any outstanding countries. You can't have a great republic that stands above all the others and have a one-world government. That's why power is being given to a peacekeeping force like the United Nations, and the United Nations can act. And now with this global warming thing going on, they can use this, whether it's even true or not. I don't believe it is. It's the sun. But anyway, let's say it is true. It doesn't matter, because it's what they're trying to do about it that's absurd. They're using an emergency situation, whatever it is, global warming or the Islam threat, they're using that to say, well, now we have to act unilaterally to take over because nothing else is going to work. We have a global problem. This is what they're going to say. And the only answer is a global solution. And so they will have to bypass individual countries and act as a world body, or so they suppose themselves to be. But again, as I've always said, a one world currency is a one world government. Some people think we already have a one world government, and that these governments you see now are just being propped up as a show, and that there are very few minds behind the real thing, and they're working their will. But remember, they're working their will, but they're being worked on by another will, namely the evil spirit beings that run these religions. And there are evil spirit beings above that. Paul calls them sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of this present darkness. Ephesians chapter 6. So don't kid yourself, folks. But above that is God. Yeah, the buck stops at God's desk. God is bringing us to a speedy halt with using all this intrigue and national politics and global threats. And it's kind of exciting to be living in these days. Listen to a quote by A. Enoch on page 227 of Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. Tell me this guy wasn't prescient here. He says, even now, and he's writing this in 1936, even now, there is continuous and increasing friction between the East and the West. Between the East and the West. That's the battleground right now. It's the East and the West. It's not the Civil War. That was the North and the South. This is not East and West India. This is the East and the West. The Orient and the Occident. Listen to this. This is interesting because apparently there was a visit by the Pope to India in 1936 when A. Enoch wrote this book. I quote, and again, this sounds like today's headline. This is funny. The Pope's visit to India and his message given there seems to point in this direction. What direction? Maybe I should get you some context here. Let me start this paragraph. Preparations for the final amalgamation of all these beasts into one nondescript, that is, the monstrous, are already well underway in Christendom itself, especially in some of its theological schools, which no longer call themselves Christian institutions, but schools of religion, end quote. That's interesting, isn't it? Schools of religion. You're going to see this trend. It already began way back then, 60 years ago, or 70, whenever it was. They teach, these schools of religion, that Christianity is only one of the religions of the earth. This was the Obama thing. Obama hated and hates American exceptionalism. And he hates Christian superiority. He was very quick to point out against Islam, well, the Crusades, the people in the Crusades, they killed other people too. They went out and killed everybody. Just like, hey, boo, boo, boo. Hey, boo, boo. Let's go see Ranger Smith and try to get a snack out of his picnic basket. Yay, yay. So, yeah, there's that. He hates the idea. Doesn't realize, of course, that the Crusades were a reaction to Islam. You don't have to convince Islam to blow things up. This isn't an American policy. You know, I'm not into all the conspiracy theories. Some of them are true. Some of them aren't. You don't have to tell these people to kill everybody and take no prisoners. That's in their their holy book. Yeah, they already want to do that. And will that become the catalyst to bring us together? Will it be global warming? Will it be a nuclear attack by a rogue power? If we're going to have a nuclear attack, I suggest a controlled nuclear attack. Let's have them with established powers, not rogue powers. You might make the case, and I might agree with you, that any country that would detonate a nuclear bomb is a rogue power. You might convince me of that. So anyway, they teach Christianity. They teach that Christianity is only one of the religions of the earth, and that all taken together is the only right religion to which the world is coming. And I refer back to the bumper sticker, coexist. I hate those bumper stickers. You people are so ignorant. If you're listening to me today and you have this bumper sticker on your car, rip it off. I don't care what it takes. Get a razor blade out there if you have to. Take your car to the dealer. Get that coexist crap off of there. Because you're basically promoting the one world order. You're basically promoting the Antichrist. Is that what you want to do? Yeah, and maybe you want to do that. But this is exactly what A.E. Nock is writing about here in 1936, and it's coming to a head today. The Pope, so here we go, they teach that Christianity is only one of the religions, and all taken together is the only right religion. That's how I always will say that. It's the right religion. One religion. Put all the best qualities of all the religions and put them together in one happy religion. And then you can take the coexist bumper sticker and replace it with a smiley face. The yellow smiley face. That's what we're looking for. So now we get to the Pope's visit in 1936 to India. The Pope's visit to India and his message given there seems to point in this direction. And it does today too. Isn't that something? It does today. That crazy Pentecostal guy that I talked about. Kenneth Copeland. The Pope has a message. I guess the Pope was on a big screen back there, like Big Brother or The Wizard of Oz or something, talking to the Pentecostals. And it was all like, yes, let's join forces. Let's put our differences aside. This isn't about doctrine. This is about love and togetherness and peace. Hello, beast. Hello, beast. And as soon as, Philip Garrison said something really funny. I think I teased you with that earlier this week. I got to finish up here since this is Friday. He said, you know, Martin, if the Pope isn't the false prophet, he'll do until the false prophet comes along. He'll do. He's not the Antichrist, because he's too obvious, again. I think, because many people, even some in Christianity are looking for the deception to come out of Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church, and much of it is, and it's a player, for sure, especially the Pope. The Pope is a player. Peter Percival Patterson, a Pope. That's from the Monkees song, sorry. Now listen to this, before my time runs out here, I want to read you another quote from A.E. Knock. The reason I'm reading these is because they're so amazing to me and fantastic that they were made so many years ago and they're happening today. Ooh, I never saw this one. I'm on page 191. He makes this comment. Now, when religion is so corrupt, we are thankful to have church and state separate. I've made that point to you. Listen to this. Though politically apart, those of the same religion tend to unite in a crisis. And that's only the beginning of it. Those of the same, of different religions now will unite in a crisis. We're seeing that. To A.E. Knock, it was remarkable that those of the same religion would unite in a crisis. Because even within religions, there are sects, you know. And there's sects too. Sects and sects. Lots of sects and religions, but also sects. S-E-C-T-S. Christianity, listen to this, was not a beast, until the days of Constantine. Then it was that authority was given to it. And it became a power in the earth. Again, the official religion of the empire. Now, every real believer who is led by the Spirit of God, and that's you and that's me. We're real believers led by the Spirit of God. We find ourselves out of sympathy with powerful, official, political Christendom. You just call it Christianity. For it is a more ferocious foe of faith in God than heathendom itself. And it is. And it is. Listen to this quote. For many years, 1936, there has been a steady trend on the part of popular preachers to take a hand in politics. All right, today that's on steroids. On steroids. Do I have anything on this next page? No. Do I have anything on this next page? Christianity is somebody penalty, please. I got time to get this in. All right, I'm going to close with this. Don't be listening to this stuff at night. I had one lady out there who was listening at night, and when I started talking about the locusts, you remember, and I recommended that you don't listen to this at night because some of the stuff's too kind of eerie and creepy, she started listening to it in the morning at my recommendation, and she's a much happier person. Because then you have the light of day and you go, okay, maybe things aren't so bad. Many peoples of the earth, again, I'm quoting from the book, page 195, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. Many peoples of the earth live in continual fear of demons, ghosts, specters, and spooks that haunt their existence and make their lives a series of propitiations to the evil genii which seek to harm them. Christendom, however, is so deceived that it is blind to the powers that impel it. Like even the garden, they are pleased with the prospect of being as gods. This is, again, Buddhism imported, crossing the Ganges, imported into the West. And accept the leadership of the Spirit which promises to make man divine in one way or the other. If you want a shred of free will, then you have the desire to make man divine. Only God. There's only room for one free will in the universe, and that is God. It should make us dreadfully afraid, continues Mr. Knock here, to learn that the leading religions of the world are satanic in their origin and their end. We must see our satisfaction in the later unfoldings of Paul. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know more about the unfoldings of the Apostle Paul, you need to get the book that made Jan Mullins, a member of the Body of Christ, relatively speaking, the first idiot in heaven. Go to my website now, www.martinzender.com, and order this book for your friends and soon-to-be ex-friends, The First Idiot in Heaven. As for me, Martin Zender, I'm the second idiot in heaven, and I will be back with you here on Monday.